Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 7 is what I will read. Starting at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will be thrilled and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned toward you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those who are in Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense, and they will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. The rams of Naboth will minister to you. They will go up with my acceptance on my altar, and they shall glorify my glorious house. Now, like we have been saying for quite some time, this is the word of the Lord, and this is what the Bible says, and the primary interpretation is this, that as time goes on toward the end, that there's going to be a rising and shining in the nation of Israel, and it talks about Jerusalem at the end of time. During that time, it says the children of Israel will start being returned. The young men, the young girls will be brought back into the nation of Israel, which will be returned. And there, eventually, we know that there'll be a wholesale conversion of the children of Israel that's in the nation of Israel. They will convert to the Messiah when they see Him and He appears. It talks about the tents of Kedar, and it says that those people will come forward also. Now, so the primary meaning of this particular scripture is that in the last days, during the last days, this is all going to be taking place. And truthfully, and to tell you the truth, it's happening. The people of Israel, more and more Jewish people are going back to that particular piece of ground. People are leaving Europe. People are leaving the United States to go back and live where their great-great-great-great-great-grandparents lived, and to indwell the land that God had promised to give to the children of Israel. They are arriving almost daily over there from all the nations. They are being returned. And it says that when they come, the wealth of the nations is going to be funneled back toward the nation of Israel. Just like when the Jewish people, the children of Israel, left Egypt, and a lot of wealth went with them, there is a lot of wealth also being taken back into the nation of Israel. Don't be jealous of them, or don't be upset, because God says this is what's going to happen. They have lived and had a rough life in all the various countries in which they've lived, and some of them suffered and died because they were Jews. I was reading about Count, who was Jewish, and how he ended up being burnt at the stake. Yeah, they had a hard way to go, and so this is God's way of saying, your children and you have been faithful all these years, and you've still held on to the old covenant, and while it should have been replaced, I am honoring the covenant with. Now, there is the old covenant, and when I say that, I'm referring to the covenant of Moses. But he's saying, because of Abraham, I'm going to honor the Abrahamic covenant, which was before the time of Moses. He's saying, I'm honoring what I promised Abraham, that his children would eventually end up in this land, and that they would end up owning this land, and they would be blessed, and they would be a blessing. And so this is just God's fulfilling an unconditional covenant. There was nothing required of Abraham. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And God said, this shall come to pass. And we're watching in 1948, they did become a nation. They have revived a language that had not been spoken by a people for a couple of thousand years, give or take a few hundred here and there. It was not a common language, and it was brought back to life. And the people learned how, they had to teach the Jewish people how to speak Hebrew. And then they had to turn around and teach and make up new words that were Hebrew words, for modern things like telephones and computers. So they had to come through and come up with these new words that they created. And this is all a miracle of our age, and people can stand there and say, this has never happened before on the face of the earth. And they're telling you the truth. It's never happened before on the face of the earth. When it talks about the children of Kedar, there's a reference in the Old Testament to them that the tents of Kedar are black tents. And it talks about the people of Kedar will come forward and they'll bring these rams. And part of the people it's talking about that we read about here are actually the other descendants of Abraham, Ishmael, the Midianites. These people are actually descendants of Abraham by other ladies, not through Sarah, but by Hagar and Keturah, these different ladies that he had eventually married some of them. Anyway, they're going to be brought back. Most of them right now are Muslims, but he's saying in the last days that there'll be a great conversion among them also, and they will come back and they will come. Now, the reason I brought up the dark tents is it says that the people who dwell in darkness will see a great light. And it's referring to Jesus. And we take it metaphorically, but here it's talking about the tents of Gadar. They lived in darkness. They lived in dark tents made out of black sheep's wool. And so, yeah, these people lived in darkness. They said that if you'd see at this time, if you would see a village of these people, it'd just be black because all their tents were black and dark. So these people who dwell in darkness will come to Jerusalem, and there will be a big conversion. And that's what it's talking about. And even in the book of the Revelation, from now until the time Jesus shows up and the great white throne judgment comes through, there's going to be a multitude of people who will convert. Not just the Jewish and Israeli people. When the Messiah shows up, they'll say, He is our Messiah. But also there's going to be this great convergence of Gentiles from all over the world are going to say, He is the true Messiah. He is the anointed, the chosen one of God. And they also will convert. So there's going to be a lot of people coming to salvation through Jesus Christ. But this has not come to completion yet. It is in progress, and we have the privilege of watching this progress on through, and now they are pushing for the president to literally move the embassy from Tel Aviv over into Jerusalem. And they're wanting him not just to move it into New Jerusalem, but over into Old Jerusalem to make a stand. So all this is happening, but this statement can be applied. Remember, there is the interpretation. There is only one interpretation, and it only applies directly to that primary interpretation. There are other applications, things that we can take from this and apply it to our life. And as we do that, I'd like to read these verses again. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. There is a series of events here. And most of us would read it thinking, arise, shine, for your light has come. But chronologically speaking, if you read the words, what happened first is your light has come. When Jesus Christ came into our life, His light came upon us. Because the glory of the Lord, because the light of Jesus has come upon us, we are to do this. We are to arise and we are to shine. We are to arise and we are to shine because the glory of the Lord. The first thing that happened is we got saved. The Holy Spirit moved into us. His light shone upon us, and therefore we are to arise and we are to shine. Even in dark and troubled times like this, and I couldn't have picked a better day for it because it was all dark and gloomy outside. And I kept thinking, the sun's going to come up, the sun's going to come up. And I'm going, it's way past sunrise and it's still dark outside. That's the way it is. Even in these dark and troubled times we're living in, because the light of Jesus Christ has risen upon us, we are to arise and we are to shine. Even in this gloom, it takes a good bright sunshine to burn off a dark and dingy fog. And that's what he's asking us to do, is even in the gloomy times of the world, don't cave in like the rest of the world, but instead it's our time to do this, arise and to shine. Now, arise does mean to stand up. Take a stand. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we are to take that stand and say, I believe that. We are to be established in that fact. that Jesus rose from the dead, and whoever believes on Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. We are to be established in that and take a stand on that. And we're not to back down nor be ashamed of that fact. We are to perform according to the fact of His death, burial, and resurrection. And the fact, this is all in the word to arise, these are all meanings, to stand up, to perform. We are to perform because of what has happened to us, which is this transformation. We are not perfect, but we are to be getting better and better and better as our life progresses and we're in the presence of the Lord Himself more and more. If you want to speed that process up, it's real easy. Spend more time in prayer with Him. Spend more time reading His Word. Spend more time researching and understanding what it's all about. That will speed you along your way and help you on to perfection. Move us forward in sanctification. We are to be standing up, taking that stand. We're to be established firmly like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We are to be showing forth or performing those things that He calls upon us to do. But also this word arise is often used in the Scripture to take a fight. Arise to fight against something. Arise to stand against something. We are to push against the darkness of this world. We are to push against the lies that are being put out. We are to push against the failure in our own life. We're to push against the failure of our system, of our governmental system. We're to push against the governments of the world or any power that pushes against Jesus Christ, our God, our Savior, our churches. We're to stand there and say, no, we trust and believe in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who's forgiven us of our sin. He's the one I trust in to take care of me, not the government. I'm not going to fall for that. And here's the other part of that. Don't even trust in yourself to take care of yourself. Yes, you need a job. Even Adam had a job before he fell. But don't trust in yourself. Your provider is God Himself. You are to trust in Him, and He will give you provisions that you need. So say, no, I don't even trust in myself. I do have a job, and I am working, but my God is the one who will supply my each and every need as it comes forward. And we are to take a stand against, stand up, be established, perform the things that He wants us to do, and to push against the darkness that's in this world. We are to shine. We are to be luminous. Here's three meanings of that. To be luminous. We are to become bright, and we're to become brighter. If you're already shining for Jesus, shine a little brighter. That's the idea. You glow. And we're not talking here with a physical light. We're talking, well, some of you have seen it with other people. You'll say, that person just glows. That person just glows. And that's the way we're to be. We're to be glowing for Jesus Christ. And it does have overtones of happiness. We are to be luminous. We're to be happy. We're to show forth the joy of the Lord because it is our strength. The dark times that we live in, we are to be overcoming it. And it is not to be overcoming us. I know it says in the last days, and it talks about all the bad things that's going to happen, but He will take His church out. We believe He will take His church out before the troubling of Jacob, the time of the trouble of Jacob, which has never been seen before and will never be seen again on the face of the earth. That's how bad it gets. But we believe that He will take His church out first before it gets really horrendous. So we are always to be resisting the darkness. We are not to be conquered by the darkness. We are to push against it continually. And we're trusting Him to take us out before it completely overwhelms this world. Because it says, he who resists will be removed first. So the Holy Spirit will have to be taken out of the way. And since we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and it says that He will never leave us or forsake us, that means that Holy Spirit is indwelling us. And if He goes, we go with Him. Because He can't leave us. Talk about no man left behind, no person left behind policy. You hear that being talked about. Well, Jesus has one also with His believers. We will not be left behind in this time of darkness. When he which resists is taken out, we will have to go with Him. No person will be left behind if you have trusted in Jesus Christ. The people are supposed to see the glory on us. Rise and shine, for the glory has already come down upon you. Now listen to what it said, and this is a very important thing. It didn't say, arise and shine, the glory has come down on the preacher. It's lights you see shining on me. He doesn't say rise and shine because of that. It didn't say rise and shine because the glory of the Lord has come down upon your neighbors or because it has come down upon your nation. He makes it very personal. We, you, I, we are to rise. We're to take a stand. We are to shine. We are to show forth the glory of the Lord because it has shined. He has shone, I guess is proper. He has shone upon us. And because of that, we are to show forth into this world. And the word glory in this situation in particular means the beauty of the Lord. So it's not all the bling that you can put on. And bling goes both ways. I see a lot of guys wear bling, gold, lots of gold rings, gold chains. Remember Mr. T? He always wore lots and lots of gold on the television sets. He sparkled and he jingled when he walked too. But it's not that kind of beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is this, the beauty of holiness. It's that beauty of love and joy and peace, the beauty of gentleness, of goodness, the beauty of faith, the beauty of righteousness, of truth, of meekness, of temperance, of patience. This is the beauty of the Lord that He is calling us to have in this world. We are to take that stand. We can be gentle about it, but we can still be firm. We can say, this is what it says, and we will not change our mind. Jesus is the Christ. He did die. He did raise from the dead, and His blood has covered my sins. And He has taken them away from me. And He has promised me life, life, everlasting. He has promised me an abundant life. And that life started the day I got saved. And I'm here to do this. I'm here to rise and shine. Now, also along with that, you'll notice that what we weren't given an option. He didn't say, rise and shine because you feel like it. He didn't say, rise and shine because the sun's shining. He said, arise and shine because the glory of the Lord has already shone upon you. We are to do this because we are told to. We're to get up every day and put our best foot forward, standing up, taking that stance, and then radiating as much Jesus Christ as we can. We can do this. God Himself does not require us to do anything that we cannot do. And so since He said to arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord has already shone upon us, we can rise and shine each and every day of our life. And it's not a matter of grit and willpower saying, I will do this, I will do this, I am going to shine. Nope. It is we are told to do it and we're to say, God, I'm here. I'm trusting by faith that You're going to shine through me. I'm trusting by faith that I have got this treasure in a clay jar and the light is going to radiate out of me. I'm trusting You to bring forth gentleness and kindness. And when things are going right, I should have said, when things are going wrong, we're to stand there and say, we're not to go, I'm going to smile no matter what. We're to say, okay, God, now would be a good time for You to kick in some old charm, for You to kick in some goodness and patience and kindness and gentleness, because right now I'd really like to... And that's walking by faith. We are to have faith that He will help us through those times. So we are to trust in Him to rise and shine because He told us we can do it because that glory has already shone upon us. It is within our grasp to be a lighthouse in this world, right here in Glenwood. I know that you guys are, and I know that you have reached out to foreign countries through financial ways, but also through visiting and going to those other countries also and witnessing there by helping missionaries who are there. I know this is going on, but remember, it's not just to rise and shine and be bright. It's to say, if you're already doing that, be brighter still. If we are in the last days, and all indications are we're moving that way, we need all the brightness we can get in these dark and troubled times. We need to shine forth because there's people out there who are tremendously troubled, and we need to be the ones shining forth so that they will come to us so that we can point them to Jesus. So right now, I would ask you all to do this. Arise, please. Shine and sing hymn number 243.